Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. How are you? Happy Monday. Another ALN classic today. Our last one for a little while, and then Brad returns from his honeymoon, and we will get back into new episodes, which we've got a bunch to release and a bunch to record coming up. So very pumped. Stay subscribed on iTunes. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell one person a day about the podcast, and we will take over the world. Make sure you have subscribed and rate and comment on the iTunes page. Helps us climb the charts. Today's classic episode is, man, a Hall of Fame episode for sure. You know her from Girls Trip. She's filming the new Kevin Hart movie, Night School, right now. You know her from Kimmel and Colbert and Comedy Central. And just, she's taking over the world. It's Tiffany Haddish with one of the greatest stories in ALN history about going out and having sex with the guy with Down syndrome from the airport that she worked with. Unbelievable. We might animate that story. So enjoy the hell out of this one and follow Tiffany on all social media at Tiffany Haddish. I'm at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, aboutlastnightpodcast.com. New merch, new site. So close. So close. I say it so much, but it's happening. We just had a couple bumps with the merch store, but it's getting ironed out. So be on the lookout for that. Email us at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Your favorite ALN moments, where you get the pod, how you got into it. We're going to read those moments every week. And give away a lot of free merch. So make sure you do that right now. So when the new site launches, you can have a chance to win some free shit. Tour dates. Brad Williams is back from Germany. And he, where is he this weekend? Man, he is... in Baltimore at the Comedy Factory. Thursday through Saturday in Baltimore at the Comedy Factory. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. I will be this coming Monday through Wednesday, October 16th through the 18th, headlining the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana in Las Vegas. Three nights only, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the Tropicana at the Laugh Factory in Vegas. That's where I'm going to be, Vegas. Come see me, October 16th through the 18th. And then, of course, Tempe Improv, November 8th through the 12th. And a lot more dates coming. Check AdamRayComedy.com for all of those. And I think that's it. So now that we got the merch info, the tour dates, the Twitter handles out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy another ALN classic episode with the one and only Tiffany Haddish.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. Dinner or breakfast, Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Wait, so are you yes on the candles or no?
Because yes on the candles. Okay, yeah. It reminds me of me luring guys to my apartment and making them color to fuck me.
Make them color?
Color?
Yeah, I used to make dudes color and color.
These ninth graders?
No, these is grown ass men, gangbangers, dope dealers.
And you would throw down a coloring book in
front
of them?
Yeah, I would throw down like a princess coloring book or Transformers or something like that.
All right, well, your taste is strong.
Yeah. And I'd be like, look, you trying to fuck? And I'd be like, hell yeah, I'm trying to fuck. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to need you to color in this coloring book. Pick a page. I need you to make it real beautiful. If it's beautiful and it looks like really great, I'm gonna fuck the shit out of you. If it's like sloppy, all out the lines, looking tacky, color coordinated,
and that's telling of your sex skills,
then you whack, and I ain't fucking with you.
I've had
because I need an artist.
An artist in the bedroom, apparently.
Yeah.
So you're saying Bob Ross must fuck like just a stallion. You know who Bob Ross is?
Nope.
On PBS about 20 years
ago. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He probably knows how to stroke some pussy. Okay. He know how to stroke it.
All right, Bob Ross, I know you're listening. You're a huge fan of this podcast. Well. But just saying, you should look up Tiffany Haddish because apparently she'll fuck the shit out of you.
Yeah, if you color in that little Pocahontas real cute. You know what I'm saying?
What is it? That's a lot of, like, It's funny how color you have those challenges.
And stuff. You could tell if they're racist or not by how they color, all that shit.
Now, how can you tell if someone's racist by how they color?
Well, I mean, are they going to stick to, you know, what society says to keep the person that color that society say? Or are you going to change it up? Like, you going to make Dumbo gray or you going to make Dumbo pink? What you going to do?
Oh my God.
What I'm saying? Are you creative with your shit? Do you take liberties?
Do you overcompensate and do you do a black Dumbo? And then you're like, hey, like,
yeah,
what are you
so
trying
then
to
I'm like, this a dark motherfucker right here. Dark soul. It's gonna be that dark dick.
Black Dumbo does not get pussy, is what you're trying to say.
I mean, no, maybe it depends on what I'm feeling like. I mean, okay. Black Dumbo, he made it look real good. Like, I mean, if it's like all crazy and psychotic looking, I'm like, well, that's gonna be some crazy dick. I don't know.
Now, is this a mindset that you were taught from somewhere? Or did you just pick the?
I picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just made it up pretty much.
Yeah,
something for me to make to see if you know. Because if a guy really likes you, uh-huh. I mean, if he really wants to fuck you, he'll do damn near anything.
You're exactly right.
This is true.
And so to see him color, that means a lot to me. When I know this dude is a murderer, like I know you killed like 4 people, and you were in here fucking coloring the shit out of Cinderella. That's
sensitive side.
You know, that's dope.
It also it
that showed the power of the pussy.
Well, that's exactly what it shows. It also shows like that you don't take yourself too seriously. Because any dude that's like, I'm like a fucking color. Oh,
yeah.
First of all, it's like, okay, well, you know, who's too old? You're too cool to color. Like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
Right.
And then when they say they're not gonna do it, only 3 dudes ever said they wasn't gonna do it. Turns out 2 of them are gay now, which I think is fucking hilarious.
Wow. But, does that happen a lot in your life?
That dudes are not gay? No.
Do you think that happens a lot?
I turn them from gay to straight.
I believe that.
That's some damn good pussy, Tiffany Haddish.
No, it's good communication. You have to hypnotize these motherfuckers.
You grew up in South Central LA.
Yes.
Did you have any sort of like, I don't know, sexual mentor? Like somebody at an older sibling or friend that just like...
Not sibling in the crazy...
Yeah.
Not like the Alabama...
I'm not fucking
like,
my cousin.
No, I'm just saying like somebody
that
like...
One.
You know, because somebody that kind of embarks some sort of like wisdom in that field of like, hey...
My grandma.
Yeah. Like here's
Your
what to
grandma.
Look out for and here's what to...
Yeah, my grandma, my aunties, like by the time I turned like 16, they were talking about, you know, how... Like sex is a drug, you know. You can become addicted to it. Mm-hmm. When you finally get you some D, your whole attitude's gonna change, and you know, don't be letting everybody bust in you because they're gonna be controlling you. You know, shit like that.
That's some wise words, Grandma.
And then you know, she's just always talked about having value of yourself because these men are appraising you. Mm-hmm. You know, they're appraising you. They're your property. All women, men consider most women property, and they be like, yeah, I had that. Like just like they saying, oh yeah, I've been at the Poconos. I've been there. Like I fucked that bitch. Yeah. So
don't have an open house.
Yeah, no open house. Don't be throwing house parties. You know, make your shit valuable. Make them work for it. Because okay. I mean. If a man, like, just like a house, you know, if it's a house he really wants, he's going to work for it. Yeah. He's going to keep it nice. He's going to maintain it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, if he's a garbage motherfucker, your shit's going to be run down. Like, also, like, before she also said, like, always check their nails. Dirty nails, dirty dick.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then she also said, like, if you go to their house and their house is junky and nasty and dirty, then they're probably going to treat you the same way.
Because that's their home. That's something.
This is where they reside.
That's something
dirty and nasty.
Right. Well, based on my number of candles and the location, what's your assessment so far?
You hired a Mexican to come clean up. No,
maybe once, but I've kept it up, right?
Yes, it's very nice. I love it. It reminds me of my very first apartment when I was like 21. I had the Christmas lights like this.
I don't know why.
The same smell. This is where I lured men to color, man.
She had a midget sitting in the corner, like her apartment.
Trophies from 1995.
Brad is like my potpourri.
Brad Puri? All right, sure.
Brad Puri. I like that. I like
Dwarf Puri? All right, whatever.
Mm-hmm. So you've been in LA your whole life.
Yeah.
But you said, and you were talking about it on stage the other night, which was quite the treat for me to get to see you 3 nights in a row because you're one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Adam.
And that was 3.
You're one of my favorites. I'm sitting with 2 of my faves right now.
But it's cool, you know, like rarely do you get to be, you know, on and see somebody like, A, see you like, you know, work bits like three nights in a row, like new bits. And then also just like you're so – I love comics personally. Like you get to a point where you like I like people that interact with the crowd. And so that makes your set always different. And for me, when I started headlining, I was like, oh, when the people I liked who headlined did a good balance of material and crowd work. And I was like, oh, that's what I like to watch. So I think that's what I want to hopefully do one day because I feel like that's entertaining for people. And so mm-hmm. to see three nights of like all different shit from you and to see the way you like switch, it was really, you know, getting to see the process. Not everybody gets to do that. And also being in a place on the show where, you know, we were close in the lineup because usually it's like you pass people by and then you bounce. Mm-hmm. But when... You started at the Laugh Factory, right?
Mm-hmm. The Laugh Factory Comedy Camp?
Yes.
When you were how old?
When I was like 15.
Whoa.
About to be 16.
And that's not even, and like that comedy camp isn't even, that's not even, but like that's not even a camp where it's like, hey, come here and learn stand-up comedy. It's like it's just a camp for kids, or is it specifically designed for stand-up
it's
comedy?
It's basically like taking a comedy class.
Really?
Yeah. It's basically you come in and you sit down and there's a bunch of kids you don't know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Y'all sit down and then some comedian comes through, some celebrity, somebody comes through and basically watches you tell stories. And then Jamie will be like, okay, this week, Body, you're going to have to bring in a story about this or bring in something that happened to you last week. And then we're going to start timing. Like after 3 weeks, we're going to start timing. Jesus. You know, you got to do three
it's like
minutes.
A farm system.
And then you work your stories. And then everybody gives, like the people that are there, usually like comics like myself now. Mm-hmm. I go all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
How
now I go
cool
every year. And it's like, it's so gratifying. And
it's got to be surreal.
Yeah, well, it's sometimes you go sit in there and you see these girls that are like from group homes and stuff.
Yeah.
And they're telling stories and it's like, damn, I can relate. I know exactly what that girl is going through. I know exactly how
she feels. At 15, you were
right.
Going through
yeah.
the same shit?
I mean, some of these girls got kids already.
No.
This one girl had a baby at 12 and she's just talking about how she's trying to see her baby.
No.
You know, it's like, it's different.
Man.
It's different stuff. Like... This girl was, I mean, she was, what, 13, four, she's 14, had a baby at 12. Her body was fucking banging, okay? That bitch made me sick. But the shit she was saying was
just in
real.
Just in case someone, like, goes to my internet browser history, I'm going to avoid commenting on a 14-year-old's body right now.
I'm just saying, but she was banging. Like, she was a grown, like, you know, these kids are having grown-up experiences. They're having adult experiences, and also they're observing their parents having adult experiences if they have parents, and they're talking about that stuff, and they're finding a way to make it funny, you know.
Yeah.
Or they're it's really.
So you're seeing really strong gems.
You're seeing great like premises and stuff like that, and then you're like, oh, look, try this and do this, and next time say this and move your body like that, and they're really great, and like a lot of great people come through there and help mold those kids, and a lot of them don't become comedians, a lot of them end up becoming social workers or I know one is a lawyer, like
they realize what, just the confidence though that camp instills in you to where you can go up in front of strangers that, like you say, when you sit down. You're looking around like, all right, I don't know any of these people.
Yeah.
And now you're
telling
jokes
about how my teacher made fun of me for spelling teach wrong.
Can't spell beach
or whatever. They just talk about stuff.
What was the word?
Beach.
Oh, okay.
And you can't spell teach.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That was me.
You couldn't spell?
Man. I spell if, E-F. F.
I mean, that's adorable.
I mean,
I spelled it like that until I was like in eighth grade.
Because nobody corrected you.
No, I mean, they did. They would correct me, but it just didn't matter. I was going to write what I think was it.
Wait, and then why did you take the comedy camp?
What was happening in South Central that compelled you to go, I've got something to say? Or like, is it a distraction? Is it like you always loved comedy?
No. I was getting in trouble in school, talking too much, and I was always trying to be funny. Like,
that was me too, by the way. Talked way too much.
Yeah.
Kicked out a lot.
Yeah, and I was always trying to be funny, trying to make friends, because I saw Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And
one of the greatest movies of all time, by the way.
So respect.
It's seen in that movie where the detective is talking to the rabbit. He's like, why are these people doing this for you, Roger? And he goes, because I make them laugh. Eddie, make them laugh to do anything for you. Please. And I was like, please. Yeah, please. And I'm like, that's what I need to do. I need to make people laugh. And
Roger Rabbit inspired you to do stand-up comedy.
Well, not right then. It was just make people laugh so they can read shit to me and help me do my homework and do stuff for me.
So to make friends.
To make friends.
Yeah.
Because that's how I was getting by. Like, I was I could only read like 3-letter words and stuff like that, or like McDonald's stuff you see all the time. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. you know Hollywood when you see it because you see this, the Hollywood sign. Somebody right. tells yep. you that's the Hollywood sign. So
also, if you're funny and you're making people laugh, you're accepted by everybody.
Yeah, and you could be stupid as fuck.
Yep,
right. But everyone's laughing. They're
people want to be around that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No and matter, so they no look out for you.
Group.
Yeah, they feed you when you don't have no lunch tickets and you don't
that
have lunch
too,
money.
Yeah,
yeah. Be like, you telling a joke or something, be like, dang, that sandwich look good. They be like, oh, I got another one. You want it? Hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
Your mama know how to cook, girl. Your mama cook good. Peanut butter and jelly? Yes, she know how to cook a peanut butter and jelly. Like, you know.
Oh, my God.
So I just did that to survive. And then my social worker basically gave me two choices. She was getting tired of coming up to the school. She's like, you got two choices. You can go to the Laugh Factory Comedy Camp, or you can go to psychiatric therapy. Which one you want to do?
Wow.
I was like, which one got drugs? She said, you're going to be on drugs if you go to therapy. I said, oh, yeah. I'll go to the comedy camp. And here I am today, almost 20 years later, on drugs.
No kidding.
Yep.
Wow.
It's yeah. So
keeping.
Do you still, yeah, well, marijuana's the best.
Yeah.
Do you still keep in touch with that woman who?
No, I've been trying to find her, been looking mm-hmm. her up on Facebook. I remember when she quit. She was like, I can't take this no more. Nobody appreciates what I'm doing. I'm like, but wait, I'm going to make it.
Oh, she quit. Yeah, she gave you,
a foundation where
yeah.
I learned communication skills, confidence. I learned when to be funny, when not to be funny.
Right.
I learned how to listen. I learned how to read an audience, you know. How to put a joke together.
It's amazing how many skills are translatable from stand-up into the real
sure.
world. Like
yeah.
how much just, I mean, and the confidence level just first and foremost in situations.
Public speaking.
And,
yeah.
And like you're saying, like how to carry yourself, when to be funny, when to not be funny, and reading a room. It's like reading mm-hmm. a room, that's you're doing that all the time. Like
yeah,
you're standing
you
in line at a Starbucks, you're reading the room on how to like,
sure.
you see things happen around you. Like, do I comment? Do I not? I mean...
Yeah.
Charles Fleischer was teaching us when he came to the class.
Oh my God, the yeah. voice of Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, exactly.
The voice of Roger Rabbit. When you know,
circle.
I was like, oh my God, it's you, Roger.
And you're like, please give me a hug.
He was doing all the voices.
He was doing them?
And Charles I was hugging Fleischer. On him and stuff, and I tried to sit right next to him the whole class. And mm-hmm. I still don't know what his real voice is. Like, but
I don't think
I've
anyone
known
does.
Him all these years.
Yeah.
His real voice, I think, is a black man. Because I called him one time, he was just like, hello? And I was like, Terrell?
No, this is Charles Fleischer.
Yeah. Mad scientist.
Oh, what kind of advice did he give you?
Oh, man, he was giving this advice on, like, body language and how you can, mm-hmm. like, your body language on stage is going to make a crowd determine if they're going to listen to you or not.
Yeah.
If you stand, like, if you're in whatever position you choose, you got to commit to that. Even when you're doing characters, commit to it 110%. Because even if you choose to be low and like low, having low self-esteem, if you commit to having low self-esteem, if you believe that you ain't shit, they gonna watch you be not shit.
Like, wow,
like kind of brilliant.
And that's great advice. And seeing your act as many times as I've seen it, you do that. Like when you're doing your Last Black Unicorn, your prance,
yeah.
there's no way no one could not just be intrigued by you on stage.
Right. Because, and then I have that confidence and I'm,
yeah,
I am that.
And you encourage people in the audience to have that confidence as well. I love when you tell the story about going to the comedy camp. I love when you tell the story about meeting Richard Pryor.
Yeah. That's
insane to me.
Yeah.
Because you met Richard Pryor. You met the king. And so he came to the comedy camp?
Yeah, he rolled in there in his wheelchair. I was like, oh my God, rich people got wheelchairs.
Like, for real?
I need to get one of those.
Oh, shit. So you thought it was like a trendy thing?
Yeah. I was like, oh shit, I need one of those.
Yeah. So you saw him near the end kind of then?
Yeah, yeah. It was like 96, 97. So okay. He didn't pass till 2000.
That's true.
And like,
once you started getting into stand up, like, were there people that really stood out to you or that you watched a lot of that you tried to pick up? Because obviously, when we're all starting, you're kind of emulating who you like, right? Because you don't have your voice yet. So, who were those people to you?
Who was I trying to emulate? All my cousins.
Oh, yeah. Really? Funny family.
Yeah. I try to emulate my family members more so than anything else. And then watching comedy, I admired, like, you know, I really admired Bill Cosby, and I really did admire Richard mm-hmm. Pryor. And I would try to watch the Wayans when they would perform.
Because
they were just like kind of like
96.
Little carbon copies of them.
Yeah, and like 96 was when the Wayans brothers was kind of
they were coming
out,
up.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, they were coming out.
I mean, they started in the late 80s.
Yeah, they did.
So you saw Damon when he was at his peak, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I would like stand back and watch and stuff, you know. Fuck. And like you would see like a lot of really great comedians, and now I barely ever see him now. But then I think, oh yeah, he's old now.
Yeah, he's still around. He doesn't come to the factory anymore though.
Damn. No, he doesn't. I mean, he comes sometimes, yeah. But. He doesn't. Yeah, he's still around.
I see him at the Ha Ha all the time.
In the Comedy Union.
And he does Flappers too. It's like right by his house,
yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Did Pryor say anything to you?
Yeah. So I was on stage telling a joke about being poor. Uh-huh. And I mean, clearly I had been rehearsing this joke.
He said, you know, I can color that fucking Pocahontas real, real good.
He stops me in the middle of my joke and he's like, stop. What are you doing up there? And I'm saying, I'm telling a joke. He goes, no, you're not. What are you doing? I said, I'm telling a joke. He goes, no, you're not. I said, well, then what am I doing? He said, you're getting on my nerves. That's what you're doing. People don't come to comedy shows because they want to hear about your problems, or they want to hear about politics or pop culture or religion or any of that. It doesn't. None of that matters. People come to comedy shows to have fun. So mm-hmm. when you're on stage, you need to be having fun. If you having fun, they having fun. If you not having fun, they're looking at you like, what the fuck did I spend my money on? Why am I wasting my life looking at you? Wow. So it doesn't matter what you talk about. You can talk about anything. You can talk about a dot, whatever.
Yeah.
Just have fun.
Enjoy the fuck out of it.
Yeah. And that's going to translate to the audience.
Yeah, they're going to pick up on that. And that's one of the things
that
enjoy you.
And that is one of the things that I really love most about you is because you smile a lot. And I know that's, you know, you just, it's a beaming smile.
I also make really ugly, mean faces up there, too.
Yeah, but you are having a great time.
Yeah, but I'm having fun.
Yeah, but those are some of the, those are the great characters you do, which is, those act outs are like Fleischer said, it's like you commit so hard to those and it's like, you know, you have to in those act outs because then people can really like buy into what's happening.
Right.
But I feel like you smiling and having a good time like that, like Neil Brennan was telling me when he was editing his first hour special that he was like, I had to go through and like, it took extra long because he was like, I wasn't smiling a lot. And it was like, he's like, when I don't smile, it was like really a turnoff and it was like not, mm-hmm. it made him look like angry. So he had to like cut extra shots to make it look like, the moments when he was smiling just to make it look like he wasn't like totally, because it does play a factor in the way people are perceiving what's happening.
Absolutely.
And like when you're doing this bit about Queefs, which crushes, it's like that could be, you know, not for everybody, but mm-hmm. it always crushes because there's just something about the way you're doing the whole bit that's like, it's just like a light. Nothing about it seems grotesque in any way because of how much fun you're having. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and to that,
well, you want to talk about it?
Well, and to that point,
yes.
That's great.
I'm drunk a little bit.
Wonderful.
And it smells like.
It smells like the good old days.
Yes.
To that point, though, in terms of you having a good time on stage, I have watched you, and I hope this doesn't get too gross for some of the listeners. I don't think it is, but you literally. You once like queefed into the microphone on cue.
What?
Yes, and it resonated throughout the entire Laugh Factory.
It was like a powerful one too.
Are you?
It overpowered the room. Everybody was like,
"Wait, are you the queef lady I've read about since '96?"
That was like the Lost Goosebumps novel. Yeah. The queef
the
lady
of the queef. Lady.
Yeah, the mystery of the queef lady.
Wait
they
a minute,
never
did
released
you
that one.
Was it like?
And everybody's like, you have to have a machine in your pocket. How did you do that? That was amazing. Did you really do that? Did that really come out of you? Can you do it again? Like,
wait, how did it even come about?
I don't know. I don't remember. I think somebody yelled out for me to queef.
Jesus.
And I could just.
Was that a charity show?
No.
It was Doctors Without Borders. It was a subset of that charity called Kids Without Queefs. And you're like, well, if the kids can't have them, I will show you that I will queef for the two of us.
They came here for one thing, a good time and a free queef.
Yes,
man, I've done shows for Dev Squad where, like, because I queefed on one of their podcasts. And so
I'm not going to ask you to do that.
And I'm not going to because I have to pee a little bit. Yeah. It's hard to queef when you got to pee.
Yeah. That might put out one of the candles.
Nice.
We don't want that to happen. It's a fire hazard.
So,
not the Skittles one.
Hilarious.
But
So when I do their show, sometimes we go like to Seattle and like Indiana and stuff like that, and people will scream for me to queef. They'll keep yelling it out.
Jesus.
Queef, queef, queef. If I take a break, like if I like pause for a second, like transition to the next thing, they're like, queef, queef, queef. And I'm like, if you ready, who wants me to queef in here? And then people are like, rah. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm gonna need some money for these queefs. I don't just queef for free.
Dude, it's like people going to a Leonard Skinner show and requesting Freebird.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm like, then people start bringing money to the sound. I made $150 off of queef. Like, because they just, and then they think I got, they always think I got some machine in my pocket or something like that.
That's all natural. No, that's just hard work and determination.
That's all breathing pussy, baby. That pussy breathes.
There's someone on Craigslist right now going, $150?
Yeah, yeah. What have I been wasting my money on?
I've been blowing dudes for a Twix. What the hell is wrong with me? And that's just my background.
Yeah.
But damn. So entertaining. Because you mentioned on stage this, and you put in your Instagram the whole, the last black unicorn. Where did that come from?
Okay, so when I was in elementary school, I was kind of a funny looking kid. I had a mole on my chin. Mm-hmm. I had this mole under my eye.
I love that mole.
Thank you.
It's not a mole, it's a beauty mark.
Thank you. My grandmother says it's where God kissed me.
Oh, I like that. I like your grandma.
I was trying to cut that shit off my face. She's like, don't do that. That's where God kissed you.
I had
like a wart or a horn growing out of my forehead.
Holy shit.
And
a wart or a horn. Those are two very distinct different growths.
Well, they both was hard and turning white. I don't know.
Oh, shit.
Maybe it was a midget horn.
I don't know, but it was growing out the fuck out of my forehead. And I used to get so mad. Kids used to make fun of me. They'd be like, oh, unicorn head, bitch.
Unicorn head, bitch? You know what? That is a prime example of how unclever kids are. Because, like, there was a kid in my elementary school who was a dick to everybody, and he wore really tight sweatpants. And all we did was call him Tight Sweatpants Kid.
Uh-huh.
And he lost his fucking mind. All we're doing was observing. So it's like unicorn head bitch. It's like, I mean, to add the bitch is like, you know, that's the part
to make me mad. Because I was always like super happy kid. You could say like, I was not the cleanest kid. I was kind of a dirty kid too. So like my pants, I probably wore them like maybe 2-3 times in a week. So they might smell
nothing
like onions. So.
Which isn't a bad thing.
It may or may not have a citrusy flavor.
Who doesn't like the smell of onions?
I used to play like real hard and like get all in the dirt. And then, you
good
know.
For you. A little bit of a tomboy?
No, I just used to like play real hard. I thought, you know, I was very girly. I thought I put a barrette in my hair every once in a while.
Yeah. I love your hair. Did you always have this?
And I used to grab booties and stuff, grab boys' booties and run.
Whoa.
Y'all did that, right? Grab girls' booties and run?
Brad grabbed, what did you grab?
Thighs.
What was at your level?
Kneecaps. I was a kneecap grabbing son of a bitch.
Dude, he had six kneecaps a week. This guy
so much. And the thing is, you never get sent to the principal's office for grabbing kneecaps.
Yeah, you can't. Because that's too weird to explain.
Yeah, exactly.
Parents are like, what's wrong with that? I don't know. Is that?
Yeah, the girl's like, he grabbed my kneecap. But it is, no, that's not.
Is that code for titty? It's not?
Yeah,
cool.
It's not,
then shut
and you're
up.
Fine. Yeah, you're good. Go back to playing Red Rover.
Yeah.
The other day I had fell, right? I was in Chicago and I fell on the ground and I scraped my knee and I scraped my hand. And then I went out the other night and this dude was like, totally like, oh, I'm into you, Tiff, you this. And I was like, oh, for real? I wouldn't rub my scab. And he looked at me like... He was like, what? He was like, yo, scab. And he was like, why would you call your pussy a scab? I was like, not my pussy, stupid, my knee. And he was like, oh, you do got a big old scab on your knee.
Such a dude response, by the way, like to think that scab is code.
Right.
We're so sexually driven.
Obviously.
Oh, scab is code for pussy. Like, yeah. Jesus.
Because
like,
why wouldn't she want me to rub her pussy?
Yeah.
She's just hip to some lingo that I'm not aware of yet.
He's like, I love black girls. They call they pussy scabs because it's black.
These black unicorn head bitches are crazy.
So anyways, I call myself the unicorn because I think unicorns are beautiful, magical creatures, and those kids used to make fun of me, and so I just take what they said and I empower myself with it.
I like it.
And I think about animals with horns and I think to myself, they will let you pet them and stuff, but if you scare them or hurt them in any kind of way, they will try to stab you with their motherfucking horn. And that's how I am. I'm a lovely human being. Treat me good, I treat you good. Fuck with me. I'm gonna stab you in the motherfucking heart with my unicorn horn, motherfucker.
Oh my God.
That's what I will do.
I wish you guys could see the eyes of Tiffany Haddish right now, because this is the eyes of a woman who means it.
Oh, means it. And then look, and then follows it up with that beautiful smile. It's like, it's both sides are in there.
It's fantastic.
A lot of people think I have multiple personalities, but I don't.
Well, I
just a woman.
I like your
jealous at how expressive you are.
Sure.
Probably.
I like your personality on the Carmichael show. You've been killing it.
Killing it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
That was
You should be on TV all the time.
Really? You think I could be a Kardashian, a Haddish?
Oh God!
I mean, maybe I should start
the
my
first
own
time.
I would love to see you doing some sort of like a show that like a mock reality show like that would be great. Just something where you are the. I mean, hopefully. You know, it's just the...
I want to do a show called The Haddishes. Mm-hmm. And then I want it to be like all black people, but they be the counterparts of the Kardashians.
Yes.
And just see how people respond and make it come off like it's really real.
Yes.
And then see how people respond to black people acting like that.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's kind of like The Real Husbands of Hollywood, right?
That is what they do. It's a mock reality show, and it's but they're not making fun of the Kardashians in particular.
Right. So you want like Kardashian centric?
Purposely gonna see what the black version of that is.
So having that,
and then I want to do the black version of everything, like the black version of Leave It to Beaver, the black version of Three's Company,
the black
which I guess was Hanging with Mr. Cooper was the black version of Three's Company.
Great call, it really was.
Wow,
Who was that?
Mark Curry.
But who was the woman?
Holly Robinson. The girl from Sesame Street and A Different World she was on.
Yes.
Shit. I totally forgot about
Susan.
That.
Yeah.
She played Susan on Sesame Street, right?
Yeah.
Would you ever want to be on Sesame Street?
I wanted to be on Sesame Street so bad when I was a kid. That's what I was going to do. I thought I was going to be on Reading Rainbow and Sesame Street, I was going to take over the world.
This is black female version of you.
I know. We are deeply connected on so many levels. Right
I believe that.
All I want to do is be a puppeteer for the Muppets or Sesame Street. I still would. If somebody offered me a job right now, I would quit
everything. As a puppeteer?
Yep.
I don't want to be a puppeteer. I wanted to be one of the people talking to the puppets. Cause that shit seems so much fun.
Way fun. Like to
and
have
then there's somebody right there at your crotch working that machine. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my god, that's what it is. All right. So she wants to talk to Elmo. She wants to talk to Elmo while getting eaten out. All right.
No, I don't want to get eaten out. I just want to feel like somebody's like bowing down to.
Who would be the the character that you would want to have a sketch with?
Like Cookie Monster.
The best. What a great call.
Yeah.
Cookie Monster for sure.
Your energies would be amazing together.
Yeah.
I want to eat weed cookies with Cookie Monster.
Oh my god.
Can that be a sketch?
God.
Put that out there. Make it happen.
I want to do that so bad.
And now do
Tiffany.
You
can you wait, you know what it is? It's Cookie Monster wanting to offer you a cookie. Like it's maybe he's trying to teach you about counting the number of cookies.
Yeah.
And then you're like, yo, I mean
I brought my own cookies.
Yeah, and he's like, What kind of cookies are those?
Yeah, they're chocolate chip cookies.
That's my favorite kind of cookies.
but these chocolate chip cookies have a little, leaves in them.
Mm.
They're like vegan chocolate
chip. I don't care. My mama. And they just fucking chows down.
Yeah, like on 30 of them.
They're cookies. Cookie Monster is not aware enough to really take into consideration what's been cooked into the cookie.
Yeah.
He sees cookie.
And be like, it's my special recipe.
Mm-hmm. So then he eats.
A Tiffany cookie?
And that's all you got to say, yes.
Yeah. Yep,
a Tiffany cookie. So then he eats 30 of them.
He eats 30?
Gets baked out of his mind.
That's an amazing scene because you sit there and you go, and you try to go, I mean, all right, maybe a couple's good. And then, but you're kind of also like, oh, fucking, I want to see this.
Yeah. Cookie Monster.
And then you do. There he goes. And he chows down on 30.
And then I eat one.
And then they do, and then he's like, "Why you only have one?"
You'll see in about 20 minutes.
No, I just take one bite of a cookie.
And then you just cut
and
to.
And then Snuffleupagus walks by and blows your fucking mind.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, shit. Where is Stone Age? Oh, yeah. You stoned all right. This is the age of stone, Cookie. This is the stone age.
And then you just look in the camera and you go, this segment brought to you by the number 420.
Cookie want to dance. Cookie want to dance. I sleepy now. Cookie sleepy.
Yeah, he takes a nap.
Yeah.
Elmo want one too.
Yeah. Maybe Elmo come in. Maybe some Fraggles come in. Start fucking.
Oh man, I used to love the Fraggle Rocks. Don't get me started on that because I wanted to live underground with them.
Right.
Just hang out. Under the ground?
Yeah, man.
Jim Henson was a genius. That shit, that whole world of Fraggles, it's, I don't know why they don't bring that shit back.
Man, that would go.
But you were a Raven. Yeah, That's a Raven.
Yeah, I was on that.
What'd you do on that?
I just did one episode. I was a tour guide at a biodome.
Wait, what?
What were your lines? Was that one of your first acting gigs?
That was one of my first paid, like, made, like, network, you know.
It's a big deal.
I guess so.
What is Raven? What does Raven Simone smell like?
Cocoa butter. Cocoa butter. She got cocoa butter.
Wait, so you're coming, I mean, you're, how much into the game are you when that happens?
I had already did my very first movie. I had starred in my first movie.
Which one was that?
Called, I don't want to say the title of it because it was that horrible.
Okay, that's fine.
And I never got paid for it.
Is a movie like Ari Spears, when he was on, he'd tell us about movies. He's like, most of my movies now, they're just good for grinding up weed on.
No, I mean, it's an interesting flick. I mean, you'll be like, whoa, they didn't have no budget. Who the fuck did Tiffany hair?
Like, it was work.
We've all been in some stuff. I was in a movie called Hercules Saves Christmas.
What the
and
fuck?
And Hercules was not in reference to the Greek god Hercules. It was reference to a pit bull named Hercules that saved Christmas. And I played one of the evil elves that was trying to fuck it up and make some money on the back end. And Hercules screwed
me over. Why do you keep this type of information secret from me? There are times when I want to watch movies I've never seen before, and I would love to pick a Brad Williams special.
It's a Brad Williams Christmas movie, and it's aired on Animal Planet a few times.
Oh, my God.
And
are you being chased by the pit bull in any of the scenes?
Yes.
Wow.
On one of them. My nieces and nephews love that movie, which is weird because I didn't like it. But I show up and they're like, "Do the lines, Uncle Brad."
What are the lines?
Oh, it's a lot of just running and screaming.
Yeah.
But so we've all done stuff, but it's just stuff to get in the door. It's fine.
Right. I mean, I just wanted to be able to pay some bills. I was all homeless filming that movie. It was a damn shame. Oh, when I see that movie, I'll be like, "God damn!"
Because you remember,
showing up is smiling. Yeah. You sure enough is smiling, bitch. You about to leave from that set right now and go sit in that little red Geo Metro and take your ass to sleep under that little leopard blanket, ain't you? Bitch got her nails done, though. I ain't mad at you.
That's what you were going through at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You were living in your car?
Living in my car.
Wow.
Man, that shit was sad as fuck.
So, like, where do they mail your checks to?
They didn't mail. I never got paid off of that shit.
Oh, shit.
And I still would use my grandma's address as, like, my residence or whatever. She let me get mail there, but she wouldn't let me live there.
Mm-hmm.
So, whatever.
But then...
it made me strong.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And then you were just going out on auditions, and then you just... did things started snowballing after That's So Raven, or was it just slow process?
That's So Raven is the gateway.
I ended up homeless one more time after that. So,
wow.
Yeah.
When you're going through that type of shit, what is it that kind of just, I mean, you have to just have a pep talk with yourself, right? And go, all right, I'm not going to let this be how it is.
I would have like these conversations about how, you know, this right here, this just getting you ready to live in a big ass mansion.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You're going to be living in a big mansion, Tiff. So you just got to, you know, you got to learn to appreciate that mansion. That's all. That's why you in this little-ass, tight-ass car. It's cold in a motherfucker, though, ain't it? This going to make sure you pay your gas bills. This is what this is about. This is about paying gas bills. This is about paying light bills, you know?
You got to adjust your mentality to look at it from that.
Yeah, yeah. I try to find the positive and everything. Like, man, now I drive around the city a lot, going to auditions, going to meetings, doing stuff, radio stuff, like, and I can pull over now and take a nap anywhere. And I can wake up in 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever I decide I'm going to wake up in, I wake up in that amount of time and get on to the next thing. Like, I take power naps like a motherfucker.
Do you really?
And if I be sleeping so good in the car some nights.
Well, because now you got a better car.
I be in my, yeah, I mean, way better car, but fucking way better car.
Heated seats.
But yeah, that should be comfy. Pussy be warm. Like, sometimes I be in my little carport or whatever. I live in a nice little luxury apartment right now. Mm-hmm. And I pull in, and I know it's like 24-hour security. And I be like, man, I don't feel like even getting out the car. I'm just going to go to sleep right here. And I wake up, it'll be like 2 o'clock in the morning when I pull up.
Yeah.
I'll be like, fuck it. Next thing I know, it's 8 a.m.
Like, now, is it a little bit like a nostalgic purpose? Like,
it'd be feeling kind of good. I'd be sleeping good to the motherfucker.
So you, wow. you got so good at sleeping in the car
that I have to do it like at least once a month.
Wow.
It's really sad.
It's not sad.
One day I'm going to get when I get my big ass mansion, mm-hmm. I'm going to buy a Geo Metro, another one. Just to sleep in.
Just put it in the foyer.
Yeah. Hey, man, once you get
going. Yeah, because I started from the bottom.
Everybody figures out their process and what works for them. And it's like, if that's.
What did you do when you were living in your car? Because obviously you got to fill all the times when you're not going on auditions. Like, what do you do?
Well, I was also teaching dance at a youth center, and that's where I would wash my ass. They had a shower there.
I would like to say that no one in their right mind was thinking, but Tiffany, yes, you were living in a car. Yes, you were teaching dance.
But where was your ass being washed?
Well, no, that's important.
Yeah, you sleeping in a car for more than an hour, you need to do some extra deep cleaning.
You need to wash that ass every day if possible. But some days you can't, so you keep the baby wipes on deck, you know, because the youth center be closed on the weekends.
I've heard that. I've heard that through the great run from girls that there's a lot of baby wipe action going on.
Yeah, baby wipes is the shit, man. Sometimes you run out of deodorant, and as long as you got some baby wipes, your shit will be fresh. Because some men, the baby wipes kill bacteria. So baby wipes is the shit.
Don't underestimate the power of a clean
ass. I have baby wiped my pussy after not washing my ass for 2 days and been like working out and shit and baby wiped my pussy down. And the dude ate me out and he was like, "Y'all shit is delicious." And I'm thinking to myself, that shit tastes like Johnson & Johnson.
Can we please
baby wipe juice
call Johnson & Johnson to get that commercial going?
Yes. We're not just for babies anymore.
Would that pussy smell like a baby?
I mean, literally, maybe an hour before, just baby wipe my shit down.
Oh my god!
And he didn't notice the difference. I thought like he's stupid.
Yeah, but it's that attention to detail. You gotta have, you know,
ladies. We know how it is. You're busy. you got stuff to do, and sometimes you don't always have time to wipe down that pussy. And hey, man's coming over. What are you gonna do? You're gonna clean your place or wipe down that pussy. You only got time for one, not anymore. With Johnson & Johnson baby wipes, you can clean down the house and just give a quick little swipe, swipe, and your pussy be fresher than a motherfucker.
Johnson & Johnson. Pussy wipes. Oh.
Clean. No, it's Johnson & Johnson. Wipe that thing before you get the Johnson.
Yes!
Wow.
But you know that's with the Summer Eve wipes. They got the Vagisil wipes and stuff like that. They got that
Not
now,
as good, though, huh?
Not as good as a real baby wipe. Baby wipes are made to clean up shit. Yeah, I remember that. It's made to wipe a baby's shitty ass, wipe that piss off and all that.
Yeah, so
that's why it's
that.
Really good on pussy.
Tiffany Haddish, you're the best.
how?
So the next time you with a bitch and her pussy stank,
have some on hand.
I got some baby wipes on point. You wipe them motherfuckers all up and down that cool.
Yeah, the awkward part would be trying to make it natural. Like, you know, it would be really hot.
Yeah, you can't just bring that up casually.
If you took, you know, it gets me really hard.
It's like when somebody's got bad breath and you're trying to give them gum. Like, you have to be coy about that. You can't.
No,
just...
you don't. I tell motherfuckers straight up, hey, I had some homegirls I used to work with, and every time they walk by, they smell like a damn old ass fish store. Like, bitch, you got bacteria vaginosis in your thing. Like, when I worked at the airlines, it would be bitches walk by stinking, then a motherfucker. And I would be like, oh my God. And then I'll never forget, I was like, LaVita, we need to talk. We need to talk. She's like, what? Girl, you need to get a box of baking soda. Okay, a whole pound of that motherfucker. Run you a hot ass bath and sit in that shit for 45 minutes and burn that pussy out. Cause your shit, I can smell it.
The box of baking soda, just like you in your refrigerator, stick the box of baking soda in there and just let it sit there.
Suck the water into your pussy and push the water out. Suck it in and flush that motherfucker out. Work your Kegel muscles, because, bitch, you got something dying inside of you. Your pH balance is off. And I'm telling, like, if you get a girl that whose coochie stank, all you got to do is be like, I'm finna run you a bath, baby. And you pour a whole box of baking soda in that motherfucker, disinfect that pussy, and make her sit in there for, like, 45 minutes. You, like, rub her titties and shit. You know, like, I'm finna read to you while you in that tub, baby.
Ever heard of the Bernstein Bears? Yeah.
You know? Just you sitting there and you relax.
Go ahead. God. I was just going to say, I don't feel like there's any audience, Tiffany, that doesn't love you. Like, I've seen you in front of multiple types of audiences, and they and you you're just so captivating. And you even done Def Jam.
Yeah.
Where you were in front of the Def Jam audiences. And those audiences are notorious. They're notoriously just like hard to go. Like, were you nervous for that set?
Hell yeah. I was scared as fuck. Oh my God. I was so scared. And I had on some silk shorts now, or satin shorts. Now, I wanted to wear some jeans, but I brought the shorts just in case, because it said bring something kind of sexy.
Yeah.
So I brought the shorts just in case. But my intention was to wear the jeans. Mm-hmm. I had on granny panties and everything, like, because I knew I was going to be nervous. So I need full cotton protection coverage. Because when I get nervous, I get real moist. Because it's like, you know, fear and shit.
Yeah.
So,
the wardrobe just agrees.
The wardrobe. Dudes get wet too. Don't act like y'all don't get wet.
Hey, fear translates it.
Yeah, to wood, right?
Yeah.
And then a little juice come out the tip, right?
to wood?
Wood, yeah. When you get wood.
You gotta get scared boners?
Yeah, don't y'all get scared boners?
I guess.
I mean, I saw them at Coachella last year.
Scared. They opened for the Smashing Pumpkins.
They did. They're solid.
If
band.
A bear came in here right now, no, my first reaction wouldn't be to get hard. If that's
you sure? I bet you would get hard if your heart start beating really fast and you're scared. I bet you did get hard.
You know what, Tiffany?
I bet your shit start thumping.
You should pull.
I mean, it's not a problem.
You should pull a gun on Adam.
I bet you feel your heart beating your motherfucking dick.
Pull a gun on Adam one day and then just say, pull your pants down. Let me see your fear boner.
Let me see your fear boner.
Let me see your fear boner.
That motherfucker pee on himself first. Then he get hard.
Yeah, stuff to pee
it's
when you're hard.
He's going
to
get wet.
But like, did you wear the jeans or the
So the lady, the wardrobe lady, I come in the shorts, right? Mm-hmm. And I had the little blazer on. And she goes, what else you got in your bag? And I show her the shorts and I show her like a skirt. And she goes, you need to put them shorts on. I was like, I don't think so. She goes, yeah, you need to put them shorts on because, girl, you need to let motherfuckers know that comedy is sexy. You got to let them motherfuckers know. New day and age. It ain't no fat, sloppy-looking bitches telling jokes no more. It's real beautiful bitches telling jokes. And you need to let these motherfuckers know. Look at your goddamn legs, girl. You got long-ass legs. You better show them motherfucking legs. And I was like,
who the hell is this person?
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
this person used to be a drill sergeant, apparently.
She was bossy as fuck. So I put the shorts on, right? Mind you, I had these granny panties on. She see me, she said, see, bitch, that's it. You looking good, girl. That's it, bitch. Turn around. And I turn around. She goes, oh, hell no. Hell no. You cannot go on HBO with granny panty lines. You cannot wear no, you can't wear those. You ain't got no thong in your bag. I'm like, no. She's like, well, you got to take them panties off. You need to go out. I said, I have never been on stage without no panties on. I cannot do that.
Yeah, that's a whole new situation.
Yeah, I can't do that. I've never done that before. I'm not comfortable with that.
I'm not going to do it on HBO.
She's like, you need to go out there with no panties on. Just go. And I was like, but I'm nervous. What if I get wet? And that bitch pulled out a roll of paper towels.
And shoved them down your pants?
She said, put that between your legs, bitch. Get out there, right? So I stuff it in my coochie. Like, I stuff it in there a little bit.
I now have to go back and watch this set again.
Yeah.
Knowing what's going on.
Yeah, I stuff it in there a little bit. And so then I was out there and I was like, okay, if I get nervous and I start to clench or whatever and this tissue come out my shorts.
Oh, God, it's over.
Jeez.
I'm going to just pick it
up.
You're
known as paper towel pussy for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Then I was like, I said to myself, I'm going to just pick it up and I'm going to pat my face and I'm gonna be like, all the men in here want to kiss my face now. That's what I'm say.
Good for you.
That's what I'm
saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Good plan.
And then so I was doing my little jokes and I kicked my leg up because I'm like physical. And I thought the lady saw some of the tissue hanging out the bottom. Mm-hmm. And so instead of me talking about the tissue, I just said I got a hairy coochie. Huh? You seen my monkey? You seen the monkey? And then I talked about bikini waxes and shit.
Oh,
but
man.
Yeah, because I thought the tissue had came out, but I think maybe it was a coochie here. Maybe not. Maybe she was just looking.
So
like, oh my God, I think I could see her pussy.
Like, how was the whole set though?
It was pretty fucking stellar. I got a standing ovation. It was dope.
Are you a dude? Do you love sports? Do you love football? Do you love fantasy football? Yeah, you probably do. Well, then you need to try my favorite new app, Draft. Have you guys heard about this? It's a weekly fantasy football app, but it's not like the other guys, all right? On Draft, you get to play real live snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Yeah, I know. Incredible. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just 1 week, and there's no management. You just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. All right? There's no trades. There's no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. All right? And drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. You don't have to wait an hour or a year or for your birthday. 2 minutes from now, start a draft. Join one. And the best part, you get to play for cold hard cash. Drafts start from just $1. So there's a draft for everyone. Who can't afford a dollar draft? Maybe pigeons, but, you know, because they don't have currency. There's also no salary caps, and you can play in a real live snake draft just like you play with your friends in a season-long league. How great is that? Come and join me on Draft today. I'm in it. Brad's in it. We love it. Download the app anytime, like right now. All you do is search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes, or you can play right from your computer on PlayDraft.com. Whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. For a limited time only, all new players will get a free entry into Draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code ALN. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using my promo code ALN on your first deposit on the app Draft. For fantasy football lovers, sports fanatics, and just people who love fun. Search Draft in the App Store, go to PlayDraft.com, and come play with me for free using the promo code ALN. Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is sponsored by Lyft. That's right, Lyft, baby. Not Uber, Lyft. The number one ride-sharing app in the world. Yeah, you can earn tips. Now, did you know that? When you drive Lyft, you can pick your own hours, work when you want. It pretty much makes driving the best job in the world. Lyft is the ride-sharing company that believes in treating its people better. And it's true. I've used Lyft for 2 years now, and the drivers are great. The conversations are better. The gum's better. The air to window roll down or up ratio is on point. Lyft is the shit, and you can make a lot of money doing it because only Lyft offers in-app tipping. That's right. When you drive for Lyft, you keep 100% of the tips. Drivers have been paid over $150 million in tips since the feature was introduced. How? With ExpressPay. That lets the drivers get paid pretty much instantly instead of having to wait weeks for payments, which we all do, and it's fucking annoying. Lyft has even taken the guesswork out of pickups, all right? There's a new AMP device that uses color coding to help find drivers, help the passengers find the drivers. So you're never guessing, like, where is he? Is he on this corner? Am I there? Is he there? What's happening right now? Earn hundreds of dollars a week plus tips by driving Lyft, all right? It's never been easier to make money. It's a simple formula. Happy drivers mean happy passengers. That's probably why 9 out of 10 Lyft drivers get perfect 5-star rating. So join the ride-sharing company that believes in treating people better. Go to Lyft.com/ALN today, and you can get a $500 new driver bonus. What? I didn't think that was real when I was reading it, but it's true. Go to Lyft.com/ALN today to get a $500 new driver bonus and start living your life the right way with Lyft. That's Lyft.com/ALN. Lyft. LYFT.com/ALN. Limited time only. Terms apply. And now back to the episode.
It was dope. It was the high. I was hot in a motherfucker that night. I didn't smoke no weed or nothing.
Right.
It's just the success of that set made me feel like good. I was on and that good shit.
Yeah. It's especially knowing the history of Def Comedy Jam, like some of the people that have come through there, some of the legendary sets that have happened. Mm-hmm. Although, if you had that paper towel fall out of there and then you dab your brow with it, that may have replaced Bernie Mac's Def Jam set.
No, right?
As my favorite of all time. Like, no one did people like, because right now everyone just quotes Bernie Mac, the "I ain't scared of you motherfuckers," like,
right,
like that set. But you would have people all over, like comics all over America, just like dabbing their forehead like, yeah. I'm Tiffany Haddish,
I know you want to kiss my face. I know the men up in here want to kiss my face. Who want to kiss my face? I know you want to lick these cheeks.
I guess I'm drinking too now. All right.
Who else was on your show? Do you remember?
D.L. Hughley hosted. And who else was on my show?
Awesome.
I want to say not Will Sylvan. I don't remember.
Right. Well, I mean,
I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna remember.
Well, but you're so focused in the moment.
But that feeling too, I want to comment on, because no sexual experience or drug can ever trump, and the feeling of the completely locked and loaded, the audience and you being in synonymous.
Yeah.
Just like
I'm getting horny right now. Just thinking about it, I might cry.
Oh yeah. I'm super hard. A bear better not come in. I'm gonna
fuck that bear.
That shit is the best drug in the world.
You know
it's like success. It's like raw success right there. And it's like, yeah. Ooh, that's my drug of choice. Like, I drink liquor and I smoke weed, mm-hmm. but you know, I don't do nothing else but liquor, weed, and success.
Sure.
I snort that shit. I rub it on my body. I, like, you know what I'm saying? I inject it in me.
But that feeling of alive, I mean, right? Like, can you think of, I mean, and also, too, when you get to that point, because we all coming up saw shows that were, that made you,
yeah.
Like, when I would watch at the factory, guys coming up and you know, fucking, I mean, Dane, when it is...
At the height of Dane.
At the height, mm-hmm. Still have never seen anything close to it, because it was to where it was inspiring, but also, like, extremely intimidating, because I yet hadn't figured out what I was. So I was like, oh, is that what I have to do to crush that hard? Like, I don't... Seeing that type of energy, I was like, oh, I'm not going to... I don't know if that's me. But, you know, I hadn't yet figured out what I was. But it was also inspiring because it was like, God, that looks fucking unreal. And I want that.
I've seen that before with Tony Roberts, the motivational speaker. And Tony Roberts, the comedian. Have you seen that comic, Tony Roberts?
No. Wait, Tony Robbins, the white dude.
No. Okay, Tony Robbins, the white dude. Yeah. When he does his motivational speaking, he has the audience like, wah, too, but he's not funny. But Tony Robbins... Roberts,
yeah,
Tony Roberts, the comic, the black dude from Mr. Box Office. He he has the audience, so it's amazing what he does.
Really?
Yes,
it's amazing.
You haven't seen him?
I don't think I have.
He's been doing comedy over 20 some years. If you saw Def Jam, you saw Tony Roberts.
Oh, really?
He is fucking amazing.
All right. Well,
he is a comedian's comedian.
Yeah.
He does not like me, but that motherfucker is amazing.
We love him.
I love watching him. He are like guaranteed I'm going to laugh every single time.
What's his thing?
He does, like, he has like these one-liners that fucking kill, and then he tells these stories that are like fucking amazing. And he says like random crazy shit. Like, he's like, I seen this lady the other day. Her heels was white. Looked like pigeons been picking at the back of her feet.
Are you big on like what do you love when in a comic, like when you're watching something and you're like, oh, that's that really gets me,
when they say things that I would never think to say, mm-hmm. like or like just like clever shit. Anytime
what gets you more, clever play on words or like a physical act out that's just so silly?
Oh man, both of my shit. Like, well, I love act outs.
Well, because your act,
physicality,
your act out of a guy eating your booty with no teeth in is one of the funniest things I've ever seen, and I'll go on record saying this in my entire life. Yeah. I hadn't seen it ever until Monday or Tuesday this past week, and literally, like, it's because it's so ridiculous, but then it's also like, that's probably exactly what it looks like. And no part of you doubts that.
Right.
And then you say he was eating it like a giraffe eats leaves.
A giraffe
is like a
leaves.
Great visual explanation
oh,
of that.
Oh, God, it's perfect.
So that's a great comp. yeah.
Now, eat my booty like a giraffe eats leaves.
I mean, Beyonce should loop that into something.
Pretty sure. I mean, you're so crowd pleasing. Now, when you're doing Carmichael show, because you guys do it, that's no laugh track. You guys
have that's a live audience.
Yeah, you guys have a lot, and I love that about the show, because I don't like it when sitcoms are like trying to be so patronizing to you, and they're like, no, we're gonna hit the laugh button right here.
Yeah, tell you where to laugh. I hate that. I hate comics that do that.
Yeah,
they're like, they tell a joke and then they start to laugh. Like, I can understand like sometimes, but when you do it like every single fucking
joke,
if
you're having a good time over there, sometimes it's tough to contain it. But like, but also you can't contain it.
Yeah, but it's like you done told this joke 3 billion times.
Yep. Right.
You know the punchline. Mm-hmm. You know you're doing it exactly the same. When I was in Chicago, I seen that and I was like, I'm about to go up there and slap that shit out. I want to slap the fuck out this comic. Like,
yeah,
I'm not a bossy person. I'll never go up to anybody and be like, do this. But I hate
it. Can be a little bit of a crutch.
Command the audience, like telling them when to do something. I fucking hate that.
And that's
unless you're the motherfucking MC and you're like, put your hands in the air. Now wave them like you just don't care. Say, she ready.
She ready.
She ready.
She ready.
Yeah, see?
I'm fired up.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah.
But don't laugh and be like, okay. Yeah. And then look at the audience like, you gonna laugh too? Like, after 10 times, that's enough.
And it's just like, because you see these sitcoms where like someone closes the fridge and just goes, who drank all the orange juice? And you just hear like a laugh that's like someone just told the funniest joke in the world. Yeah. And you're like, no, they didn't do that. They didn't laugh like that. That's why I love your guys' show.
How did that...
Because it's so authentic.
Yeah, how did that all go down? I mean, you know Gerard, but not super well, or do you?
I don't know Gerard like that. I don't know that motherfucker.
Yeah.
No, I know. I know him, but I never like really. I don't hang out with a lot of people. I'm not like a hangout type of like, oh yeah, I'll come over to your place. Like, you're probably, this is probably the sixth comic house I've ever been inside of.
For real?
Yeah. Mm. I only hang out with thugs.
Well,
gangsters.
Obviously.
Mostly Russian mafia.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm a Russian Jew. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're here in a house that has Skittle candles, so that's pretty gangster. Yeah.
No, it says cherry tart, lemon vanilla swirl, and blackberry cobbler. Who are you? Who are you, Adam Ray?
Smells fantastic. I don't go. I don't hang out a lot. So
you got the audition.
Didn't get it. No audition.
Oh.
Didn't get to audition for it.
Can I be honest? That's how it should have gone down.
Oh, okay. Because
that's my opinion.
Okay, so let me tell you what happened. Okay, mm-hmm. Now Gerard has a different story than what I have, but my story is the truth.
Okay.
So he's talking from a different point of view.
If you can't trust the last black unicorn, who can you trust?
I manifested it this way. No, I didn't manifest it. But so basically, Lil Rel was telling me about Gerard's TV show. Yeah. He's auditioning for it and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, that's what's up, Lil Rel. That's cool.
And he plays your husband.
Yeah,
or your
he plays my ex-husband. Well, husband.
Right.
You guys are hilarious. There's a spinoff in that, obviously.
Man, yes. Right? And you know, he's been my friend for like, since we did Who Got Jokes with Bill Bellamy. So like over 10 years, he's been my friend.
That's awesome. How much sweeter does that make that whole experience?
Oh, man. Because we manifested it, man. We used to talk about it all the time. Like, oh, we're going to be TV brother and sister, or TV husband and wife, or TV. Like,
Jesus.
We used to always say that when he would come to LA, he would stay in my apartment or whatever, sleep on my futon, dirty up the dishes and shit. And I'd be like, when you gonna wash these dishes? Like, he never washed.
So you were living your relationship for the show.
Pretty much, but like more like brother and sister.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyways, we were, so he tells me about the show and stuff, and then I see Gerard's special, and I'm like, oh, he got directed by Spike Lee? Okay, mm-hmm. That's how you do it? All right, then. So then, I'm like, I'm proud of him. And then I see him again. I see him at the Inside Jokes. Mm-hmm. And I go up to him and I say, man, Gerard, I just want to say I'm so proud of you. Congratulations on the special. And congratulations on getting a TV show on NBC, getting a pilot. That's cool. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I hope it works out for you. But I just want to let you know straight up, I feel like you real disrespectful because every time you see me, you say you like what I do. You're like, I'm your favorite motherfucking comedian. But you didn't ask me to come and audition or nothing. You super disrespectful. And I feel really upset with you about that. But if you need help with anything, if you need any kind of help with anything, just hit me up. I'm here to be a service man. I mean, if you need a stand-in, you need some extras, you need me to help you run lines, whatever, I'm here. I'm available. So then like 2 weeks later, and also I'm kind of cool with the casting director. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks later,
who casted?
I can't even remember her name right now.
But you're cool.
Hashtag Hollywood.
Hashtag,
she's one of my greatest friends.
Hashtag I ain't putting her business out there like that. Hashtag if you can't look it up on IMDb, hashtag none of your motherfucking business. She told me don't be putting her name in the streets, so I ain't gonna put her name in the streets. But you can find out. You can Google it.
Look it up.
Go to your computer
you can
right now.
Anything, for sure.
So, anyways, but she told me don't put her name in the streets. So, you know that's how they go. Anyway, so 2 weeks later, I get a phone call asking me if I could come in and just do help with the table read because the girl that they hired for the part is doing a play, and so they need somebody to do the part in the table read. I said, no problem. I'm down. I'm available. I'm not doing nothing. I'm unemployed right now. Mind you, I was signed to Tyler Perry as well to do a show called If Loving You Is Wrong in Atlanta. I was just, it was in between the shoots. I was unemployed.
Yeah.
So I go and do that. I don't ask for any money or nothing. I leave. I don't bother nobody. I just leave, you know. Then the next day I get a call and they say, hey, the young lady's still not available to do rehearsals. Can you come through and rehearse? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking to myself, I said yes, of course. But I'm thinking to myself, this bitch is fucking up.
Yeah.
Right? This is a network show.
She
ain't doing a play.
Right.
So then I go to do the rehearsals. I make sure I know all my lines. As soon as they send me the script, I just study everything, know my stuff. Like, they blocking it, like, I'm boom, boom, like, not asking too many questions. And just, like, if you got any adjustments, let me know. I'm just here to help. I never ask for no money. I never said nothing about no money, which is not like me. Mm-hmm. And I usually, especially when it's comedy shit, you'd be like, oh, can you do a spot? Be like, well, how much is it paying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because
you have to start taking control of like your value, right? Like,
right. You have to have value in yourself because nobody else is going to value you, and you'll be doing this shit 30 years and be fucking broke as shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I learned that from Bernie Mac. He told me that.
No shit.
He said, always ask what it's paying. Even if you know it's not paying nothing, make them say nothing. Make them say it.
Make them say the words.
Because if you ask, they'll probably be like,
$75?
That's
true.
Which has happened.
Because I think most just clubs or comedy situations like want to try to, they must know that a lot of comics are so grateful for the spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they're not
But they
be,
have it in their budget. My 9 times out of 10, they have it in their budget to pay something.
And if they can, and it's crazy to think that they would even want to go, oh, well, let's save $75 and not pay this comic.
Right.
But that's how they operate.
They will.
Yeah. I mean, I write every time I do the improv and they hand me $8. All disrespectful, like.
Mm-hmm. It's the worst.
I write a whole letter on that little piece of paper. You making me sign a piece of paper for $8, too? I'm about to write you a letter, corporate.
Yes.
They do you really?
Yeah, I write a letter every single time. It's gotten to the point where they look forward to reading what I write.
I bet.
Yeah, I misspell shit on purpose. I'm like, and at the end of the little note, I'll be like, I know that you noticed some misspellings in that because I feel like you must think I'm stupid as fuck to be okay with taking $8. Hope you have a great day. You know, like I write a whole paragraph. Anyways, what were we talking about?
You were doing the table reads.
Oh, the table reads. So we do the table reads and stuff. And then we do the rehearsals. They invite me back to do rehearsals. So I end up rehearsing with them for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And then the girl comes back on the fourth day. I go across the way and audition for Mr. Robinson, Craig Robinson's show, for the part of Megan Good. So, you know, I got my hair done right, lipstick, makeup done to the max.
Looking good.
Outfit, boom, boom. Got the spanks on, booty sitting like, what? Legs all baby oiled up, like, just got all the hair snatched out of them. So they looking real delicious, you know. And then I walk over to the other side because Rel said he was bringing his kids into town. So I'm like, oh, maybe he got the kids on set. So I go over there, and he didn't have the kids on set. But also everybody's like, Tiffany, oh my God, you look so beautiful. We never seen you this beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And Gerard comes over and hugs me and stuff. And then the girl, I knew her already. We did the CBS Diversity Showcase together. And I know she don't like me that much. So I knew that. So she comes up to me. That's a whole nother story.
Right.
But she ain't like me. And so she comes up to me and she goes, Tiffany, I just want to thank you so much for filling in for me. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate you being here for me. Like, it was me. And I was like, girl.
Yeah, you're thinking like, bitch, I didn't do that for you.
Yeah.
I did that for Gerard. You know, and I did it for Little Rail. And I always help Rail with his stuff if he asked me or whatever.
But so you're cordial. You're just like,
I was like, girl, you know, it's all good. You know, I'm just here to be a service.
Yeah.
That's all I'm here to do. Yep. I'm a unicorn, girl. Yep. You know, I'm just here to spread my love, spread the magic.
Hell yeah.
And then I left. And then then I got a call like an hour later. Do you want this part? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Black unicorn.
Yeah.
In the words of my manager, the great Barry Katz, you created a problem, man.
Create a problem?
You created a problem. This girl had a part. It was her part. It signed, sealed, delivered. And then I had to do that play. So, but then you walked in there. If you would have not taken that seriously, if you would have just gone in and went
to the
motions.
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't very serious about it. I just, whenever I do anything, I try to do it at 110%. Yeah. And I always try to be best. If my friends are on something and I'm helping them, I'm going to try to help you to the fullest. I want you to win.
You're
about
selfless.
You. Yeah, it's about you more than it's about me. I do me on stage.
That's easier said than done, by the way, though, to go in with that sort of mindset to be like, you know, I'm going to. And those are the best actors, by the way. When you're like, yo, I'm going to try to like help you.
Yeah,
like,
make you shine.
Make you look the best.
I would be like, yo, this joke would sound much better if Rel was saying this. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, oh, Rel, try it. And they'd be like, oh, yeah, good call, Tiff.
Jesus,
like, you know,
yeah,
like,
so you
get the joke away.
See.
Like, always, you know.
Yeah.
Because I want everything that I even touch. Like, if I'm just even an extra, I want it to be the fucking best.
Now, do you step back when you're doing these live tapings? Do you have flashbacks of, like, comedy camp or I don't know, trying to
live in the Geo Metro.
You know what my flashbacks be when I do those live tapings?
What's
being
that?
In the audience watching a live taping. I used to take the kids from the youth center to these TV show tapings just to see how that worked or whatever. And also to show the kids that, you know, just right down the street from here is that TV show you love to watch so much.
Mm-hmm.
And you could easily be on this show. You could easily do something, be a part of the show in some kind of way. So I would tell all the kids on the bus and we would be on the way to, like, we went to go see One on One and In the Cut and stuff like that. And we and I would be telling the kids, okay, you guys, if you want to be part of the show tonight, your energy is what's going to make this show good. You know, when a guy says, when the warm-up guy says, your energy is what makes the actors do a good job. So when they have a dance contest, who going to get in the dance contest? When they have a who going to participate? Who going to sing? You going to sing tonight? Girl, you better sing your ass off. You don't know who's going to be in that audience. Like, and one of my girls is a backup singer now. She does like all these background vocals for different artists and stuff. So it's like, you know, just that little something, which really was me being a little selfish because I wanted to see how this TV shit work, you know, but taking these kids to it, like gangsters, thugs, they do lights and sound now, you know, like.
Are you serious?
It's, yeah.
When were you doing this?
In 2003, from 2003 to 2006.
So you were a counselor at a youth center?
Center. Yeah, no, 2002. Yeah, 2003, 2006, for like
3 years.
Just coming
from very...
off of the east side, off of 29th and Central. That's where the youth center was, a place called home. And yeah, so we... basically within a 15-mile radius of the youth center.
What made you do that?
I needed a job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had stopped working at the airlines, and my homegirl was working. I was just trying to call myself doing comedy full-time, but that was, you know, $25 a night. It's not going to cover rent. And so my homegirl was working in the accounting department at the youth center. She was like, girl, why don't you be doing bar mitzvahs and stuff? Because I also did bar mitzvahs on the weekends.
What?
Like, yeah.
DJed?
I would MC and energy produce dance and stuff, tell jokes, organize activities with the kids. Mm-hmm. And I would do those like twice a month. So, because I wasn't getting weekend spots anyway.
Right. Please tell me these young, horny Jewish boys hit on you.
Yeah, they
because
did.
Because if you were my bar mitzvah MC.
Yeah, they would hit on me. They would ask me to go to their uncle's cabin and stuff and go to Mammoth. All kind of shit.
I didn't have access to that. I would have been like, you want to go to my stepdad's fucking car?
When
I
was, do you want to go to Chuck E. Cheese?
When I was 16, because I started doing those bar mitzvahs at 16. I was 16, almost 17. Wow. Just came out the comedy camp. I was doing one at Temple Aliyah. Was doing one, and this boy was on me the whole. He was like, you're the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, well,
and
I'm a little offended by that Jewish voice you just did.
No, it wasn't a Jewish voice. It was a little boy's voice. That was my little boy's voice. He was like, you're the most beautiful girl I've seen my whole life. Oh, my God, you're so gorgeous. Oh, I want to take you out. Can I take you out sometime? I was like, boy, you ain't got no money to take me out. He's like, I just made $20,000. It's my mitzvah.
It's my mitzvah.
And sure, he's 13, but in your head, you're like, $20,000.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't even fathom $20,000 at that time. I didn't understand the concept of money then. So I was just like, what, little boy, please? You ain't even got no pubic hair. I got two armpit hairs.
He's negotiating armpit hairs.
He talked to me all
night. Everyone knows two armpit hairs make one pupe. Everyone knows that. Which is, by the way, the name of another sitcom that's going to come out later.
Jewish
two armpit,
hair
yeah.
ratio.
Yeah. Two armpit hairs, they have one pupe.
That's what every rabbi says to the newly bar mitzvah boys.
Yeah.
As you go into the world and become a boy, from a boy to a man.
That's so.
He would invite me to his case. I gave him my phone number because he was on me so tough, and he started singing all the rap songs and stuff to me. He was so cute.
And you know that when a white boy, nothing makes a girl more wet than when a young white boy sings Jewish.
Oh, are you kidding
sings
me?
Rap songs.
MC Mazel Tov?
Man, I was MC Haddish. That was me. And he thought
that's
he was
a dope
like,
name.
Yeah. I know. Haddish is super dope. It's like Kadash. And it is
Kadash,
Jewish.
Yeah.
My father's an Ethiopian Jew or Eritrean Jew.
For real?
Yeah. I'm circumcised and everything. And so, no, I'm not.
We all pause like, wait, what?
Yeah. Isn't it so funny that I feel like I know enough about Judaism, but even I was like, wait, that's a thing?
In Africa it is. They circumcise women in Africa.
It's horrible.
It is a thing.
It's horrible. It's not a positive thing.
As soon as you start to bleed, they cut your clit.
Yeah,
because so you don't be all horny.
So you just fuck one dude and you're not allowed to feel pleasure during sex. So this podcast took a turn for the dark.
Some of those are Jewish. Anyways, back to that little boy that was trying to fuck me, right? So,
I want to know. Okay, so before we wrap this up, I want to know.
I gotta go host the show.
Okay, you got about 2 minutes, all right?
Yeah.
You work for the airlines. What did you do for the airlines?
I was a customer service agent at the ticket counter at Alaska Airlines, and I was the best. I had a folder full of complimentary letters.
Really?
Of how great I was, yeah.
Your voice is very appealing. And I feel like if I were talking to you on the phone, because...
No, not a telephone customer service agent.
Face
I worked
face.
At the ticket counter.
Even
yes,
better.
Face to face. I used to wear blue eyeshadow and wear blue contacts with afros and shit. Like,
oh, my God.
Freak these white men
out.
Like, oh, my God, you're so beautiful.
Were you hit on more as a bar mitzvah DJ or MC or as an Alaska Airlines customer service representative?
I was hit on by more handicapped people as an Alaska Airlines customer service representative.
My people love customer service.
Man.
Easy.
No.
We love customer service. No. You could assist us. Oh, it's so great. That's what we need.
Well, my baggage handler was handicapped. His name was Roscoe. I ended up fucking him. He had one regular arm and one little dead hand, like a little hand, like a Tyrannosaurus Rex arm. Then he had a heart attack in his face, I think. I don't know, but he had a...
He probably had a heart attack from having sex with a woman like you.
Now, if you are comfortable telling that story, I would love you to tell it, but you don't have to.
Oh, man, it's like a 10-minute story, but basically I slept with a handicapped dude so I can go to heaven.
Can we get the footnotes?
No, okay.
Brad hasn't heard it. You told me.
Brad's heard it. You heard me talk about it before.
Well, our listeners haven't heard it.
To me, it's one of the greatest stories of all time.
You know. Okay, so basically, so you know how to stroke my ego. So basically.
Tiff, you're the best.
Roscoe worked with me at the airlines. He was my baggage handler. Mm-hmm. And every day for like 6 months, he would hit on me. And then I had broke up with my boyfriend I had shitted in his shoes because he had cheated on me with a bitch on my birthday. That's a whole nother story.
By the way, shitting in the shoes, I feel like that's...
He didn't have a car. I couldn't like slash his tires or put sugar in his gas tank. So I had to get creative and I shitted in his Jordans.
These are the... Wow. That to me should be the first go-to.
Yeah.
Shitting in Jordans is over slashing a car, I feel like, is more detrimental.
Well, no, you want to fuck his transportation up. You want to feel like all the shit he put you through, now he going through it. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
So, like, it's slashing tires that cost him money, because it probably cost me money to have my hair done and my nails done and my clothes nice and my coochie clean, all that. You know, so that costs money, too, you know?
He's never going to forget the girl that shit in his shoes, though.
No, he loved me to this day. He writes me once a month or so, hey, how's it flowing? Anyways.
How's it flowing? I'm going to borrow that.
Anyway, so back to Roscoe. So I was all hurt about that boy. So then Roscoe asked me out, and it's like on one of my weekdays, and I was like, fuck it, okay, Roscoe, let's go out. Now, mind you, Roscoe had been bringing me necklaces.
Let's set the scene. Where did you meet Roscoe?
At the ticket counter at LAX Terminal 3 Alaska Airlines.
And in your mind, you're like, this is a guy who's...
He's amazing, super strength, because he had that one strong arm, and he would throw 70, 80-pound bags with one arm all day.
Jesus Christ.
You know, moving boxes. He moved big boxes with that one arm, and then he had that little hand holding the corner. That shit was freaky, man.
So he's hitting on you, and you're taking it with a grain of salt. You're like,
I'm
this guy's
like
sweet.
And I'm like, thank you, Roscoe.
He's saying what to you? What are his lines to you?
Just, Tiffany, it's a beautiful day. You're so gorgeous today. Oh, I would love for you to go out with me. You want to go out with me? I'm like, nah, Roscoe, I can't go. I got a boyfriend. Well, D don't treat you like you let me know.
And
then he would bring me flowers. Yeah, he would bring me flowers. And you could tell he was stealing these out of somebody's yard because they would have ants in them and caterpillars and shit.
Caterpillars. You got to appreciate the effort, though.
Yeah, like, oh, he picked that and fuck. He picked that. He be scratching his shit like, the motherfucker got ants on him. He don't carry ants in from the bus. And what else he used to do? He used to buy me, like, he found out that I like Filet-O-Fish sandwiches. He heard me talking about him one day to one of my coworkers. So then he started bringing me Filet-O-Fish sandwiches.
It's a big time move.
Yeah.
Dude's got to listen, right?
Yeah. He's bringing me them 99-cent sandwiches. But it was $1.50 then at the airport. You know, it's always more expensive.
Markup,
So anyways, then...
nice Filet-O-Fish commentary. But hey, you know the markup.
So then I get into that argument with my ex, whatever. And then Roscoe's like, Tiffany, is there any way maybe, you know, this weekend you want to go out? And I was like, yeah, Roscoe, let's go out. He's like, what? Did I hear you right? He's saying in some of the ears and shit. I said, yeah, we can go out. He's like, oh my God, this is gonna be amazing. Okay, look, all right. Meet me on the corner of Sepulveda, Manchester, 7:45. I'll be picking you up on number 13 bus. I'm like, Roscoe,
fuck that.
Picking you up on the number 13 bus.
And I'm like, Roscoe, I got a GL Metro. I could pick you up. Okay. Where you live at? He tell me where he live. I go to his house, and apparently he live in like one of these group, like handicap homes, whatever, group assisted living type thing. So when I get to the door, I guess he been talking about me for like a while. Cause when I get to the door, this girl answered the door. She had like Down syndrome or whatever, but she wasn't a girl. She was a grown ass woman. She answered the door. She goes, "You must be Tiffany." And I was like, yeah. She's, "You are beautiful. She's beautiful. She's beautiful. She's beautiful. She's beautiful. wow. running through the house. And I was like, I need this bitch to go everywhere with me. Like, I'm coming over here every day.
No kidding.
So she could tell it, like, daily tell the world how I'm inviting. Like, I needed that at the time because I didn't feel beautiful. Yeah, so
she might have had Down syndrome, but she's uplifting.
Yeah, she was positive. Thank okay, you so much, she had up Thank syndrome. She was a chromosome.
So then Roscoe shows up. Is he dressed nice?
Roscoe's dressed cool. He got a little polo shirt on.
Nice.
Oh, there you
some
go.
Khaki pants, you
okay.
know.
Okay.
A little, like, some little shoes that look like them yacht shoes, but you can tell him about it from Payless.
He's trying.
Some FUBU socks?
Yeah, no.
Right.
I don't even think he had those socks, to be honest with you.
That's all right.
Anyway, so then we go to Hennessy's in Hermosa Beach, yep. right? I drive.
Be classy.
And we classy.
It's a good spot.
We're the only mm-hmm. black people there.
Yeah.
So that's, I feel special. I feel special, but at the same time, I feel a little embarrassed. Like, mind you, I'm 21, so this is like kind of hard for me. I'm learning to drink and stuff, and I'm like very self-conscious of myself,
yep.
and now I'm walking in with the handicapped dude, you know.
But also,
and
kudos to you to just, you're cognizant of all this stuff, but you're also like, fuck it, I'm living my life right
now. You only live once, yep. you know? And maybe my ex will see me and be like, she fucking with handicapped motherfucker. He got it. So anyways, then we go, they have karaoke. Mm-hmm. He gets up and he sings a Luther Vandross song. He's like, oh. The chair is still a chair. Even if no one is here tonight.
All right, well, that's a reality show waiting to happen. By
looking
the way.
At
handicapped
me.
Handicapped karaoke. All right.
And just all Luther Vandross songs. So.
Oh, my God. So then everybody's like screaming and hollering for him, even though he was horrible. And I was downing wine. I was on, by the time he got off the stage, I was on my second glass of wine. And I was killing it because I was like, I didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
So then he comes and sits down. He grabs my hand with his one strong hand and he looks at me in the eyes and goes, Tiffany, I do want to tell you right now, you're the most beautiful girl in the whole wide world, and I never thought that a guy like me would get to be out with a girl like you, and if I die more, I'll be the most happiest man on this earth. I could just die just like this right now. You're so beautiful. And like sly life was coming. He's
I even brought
tears
you pussy
coming
wipes.
Out.
Yeah.
He got tears coming out his eyes.
Jesus.
He's crying.
Wow.
He started full on crying. He's like, I'm just so happy right now. I'm so happy. I'm embarrassing myself. And he's like trying to wipe his face with that little hand. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God, I can't believe this. And I'm just looking at him. I'm not saying nothing. And he just keeps talking. And all I'm saying in my head is, I'm going to fuck the shit out of him tonight. Because I ain't never seen no man cry before.
Right.
And so then I take him back to my place afterwards. And I think one of the ladies thought I hurt his feelings because she was like, like, I think she thought I said something.
Oh, and that's why he was crying. Yeah.
He is like full on crying. But he's holding my hand and shit.
Yeah.
Anyways, we leave from there and we go back to my place and I put in The Wiz, and that's my date movie. Like, if
the
I'm
Wiz?
Trying to fuck, you know, I'm gonna put in The Wiz.
He's on and down, he's on down. Down the road.
That's Michael Jackson's only real movie.
Yeah.
And
what a shame, by the way.
Right? Mm-hmm. Super shame. Well, no, that he was in Men in Black 3 too.
What?
Yeah, he was in Men in Black 3 as
like
Agent
cameo.
Zero or something like that.
God
for just
damn it.
A second.
Why did. All right, well, that's a whole other podcast.
Yeah. Anyways.
It's your go to. Now,
that's
what about.
My go-to
why
movie.
Is this your go to, and what about it?
Diana Ross, Michael Jackson, come on.
Okay, sure, but, like, but this is an artistic movie to me.
Same
to
thing
me,
with the coloring. Like, you have a strategy with this.
Yes. So, to me, that's an artistic movie, right? And I didn't really want him to color because I had already decided I'm fucking him, right? I already made that decision.
Girls know this.
Yeah.
When they say girls know within the first, 8 seconds, is that true?
30 seconds. But sometimes I fuck dudes that I never thought I would fuck. And there's dudes that I never fucked that I thought, like, oh, like, you grab my ass, I'm fucking.
Wow.
Like, you finna get raped in front of everybody.
And then they colored outside the lines.
And then, nah, then they say some stupid shit and make my pussy dry up.
Mm-hmm.
But not Roscoe, though.
Not Roscoe.
Okay. Roscoe, he knew all the words to all the songs in the movie,
Jesus.
Which I thought was so fucking sexy.
Unexpected.
Yeah. And see, my thing is, if you can make it past the Michael Jackson part where it's like, you can't win, no. Mm-hmm. If you can make it past that, then I'm in. You know, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, he ready. But Roscoe knew all the songs. It had to get to the end of the movie. And then I would start, like, leaning in, trying to kiss him and stuff, you know. And he's like, you better stop it, Tiffany. You better stop. Like, I lean in.
He put on the clamps.
Yeah. And then I was like, I wasn't stopping on it. I came in for another kiss, and then he just took over, man. I thought I was taking his virginity. I thought I was doing him a favor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But turns out this motherfucker been fucking nurses or something or other handicapped bitches. I don't know. Cause
he had some skills?
He killed the pussy, man. Best sex Roscoe. I ever had.
Roscoe.
Oh, my God. He put the condom on with that one little hand. Like, he rolled that motherfucker on so quick.
Grab the hair of the other one.
He had my clothes off so fast. I was like, how did he undress me like that? And then we was just like, next thing I know, he's on top of me. He fucking the shit on me. And it's like, you know when it feel good down there, but like when you look at the person, you're like, oh, God, they're so fucking ugly. Like, that was fucking with me. So then I was like, Roscoe, turn my ass over. He's like, oh, you want me to turn it over? You want me to turn it over? I'm going to turn it over. And he just, like, scooped me with that one strong arm, flipped me super quick. Like, I was like, how did he do that? Like, it was like magic. I was on my knees just like, instantly.
He just treated you like a damn Samsonite bag. He's like, I got this.
And,
like,
and he's like, fucking the shit out of me, holding my waist with the strong hand, smacking my ass with the little dead hand. He had me, oh, man, that shit was so fucking bomb. He was drooling and shit.
God.
It was crazy. And then I thought my pussy healed him. I thought my pussy healed him for a minute because he started when he came, he was like, girl, you got some bomb ass pussy. Like, he saw smooth like fucking Snoop Dogg and shit.
Why, thank you for the splendid evening, Tiffany.
I was like, oh my God, my unicorn pussy's powers is on. I just healed him.
I would have thought he was faking it the entire time. Like, wait, what?
No, I thought, no, you can't fake that little dead hand, man.
That's real shit.
You can't fake that dead hand.
Oh, yeah.
But then I was like, you
by the way, you can't fake that dead hand is your first memoir.
Yeah,
you need to write.
You can't fake that dead hand.
So
then I'm like, oh my God, Roscoe, you want some water? He's like, yeah, baby, I would love some water. I'm like,
Jesus,
I'm feeling all good about myself. Yeah. I bring the water back to him.
Because like, it was fun, and also you're like, you know what? I made this guy's fucking life.
Yeah, I thought I was doing something, but this motherfucker been fucking. Okay,
how do you find this out?
Well, because by the way, he was fucking me. He definitely had been fucking.
Sure, yeah.
Ain't no, I don't care how many pornos you watch, you can't.
No.
Last like that. I mean, my shit was super tight too. I had that clink clink that snapping locked down motherfucking pussy. Like,
no couch cushions at the retirement home were gonna fucking prep him for what he was about to do.
Man. And so I give him water, he talked back, he was like back retarded, whatever. Anyways, I take him home and then I'm like, for 2 days I was off work after that, right? Mm-hmm. So then I'm just thinking to myself, fuck, I can't. I don't even know if I can do this. Like, a part of me want to fuck him again, but another part of me is like, I can't take him in public.
Right,
I can't take him around my friends. I'm like, why are you fucking this handicapped dude? Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You getting his disability check or what? So then I get to work and I'm like, at lunchtime, we got to talk Roscoe. He's like, oh yeah, we going to talk on right, Tiffany. He grabbing his dick and shit. I'm like, oh my God. Oh, I want it, but no.
Yeah.
So then we go to the center of the LAX airport. You know, this is where that spider thing is.
Yeah.
That restaurant, we over there talking. And I just tell him straight up, I'm like, look, I guess I'm real shallow or whatever. And that Erykah Badu song, Next Lifetime. And I was like, you know, like Erykah Badu say, I think we should just do this next lifetime. Like, I'm just really shallow. I don't think that I can be with a guy like you and have respect for you and like love you the way you deserve to be loved. And I can't be your girlfriend. And I would love to fuck you some more, but I don't even think that would be cool. That wouldn't be fair to you.
Yeah.
So I think we should just wait till our next lifetime. And he was like, he was quiet for like a minute. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do you have anything to say? He was like, so you don't want to be with me? That's what you say? You don't want to be with me? I was like, yeah, I just want to be your friend. He was like, you can't be my fucking friend. I was like, what do you mean I can't be your friend? He was like, you sure you don't want to be with me? I was like, yeah, I'm sure. He goes, well, then fuck you then, your pussy garbage anyway. And he turns around, he walks away.
Fuck?
And that's the first time anybody ever told me my pussy's garbage. I was like crushed.
Uh-huh.
And then I was like, what the fuck, you handicapped? Like, I'm yelling at him, you're handicapped. Who gives a fuck? Like,
you're screaming at, you got a dead hand, motherfucker.
Jesus, I didn't say that. I just said, you're handicapped, motherfucker.
Roscoe's handicapped pimp arm is strong.
Man. And he left and I never saw him again. He's never came back to work.
Really?
He just never came back. I ain't seen him since. And I was looking for him online for a minute. And I just said, fuck it. He's probably married.
He
had that good dick, though. Like that.
But you probably made his life.
He probably married dick.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
Yeah. He probably was running game on me the whole time.
So I guess to those out there who are also thinking about fucking a handicapped dude, don't think that just because the voice is a little skewed, the dick is on point.
You goddamn right.
I did.
All right.
Listen.
I know I'm going to heaven because I slept with one of God's
Fuck
weak ones,
yeah, you are.
So. Yeah.
There will be the last black unicorn in heaven, which sounds like a Martin Lawrence movie.
The last black unicorn in heaven. Starring Martin Lawrence. Mike Epps. Eddie Murphy doing the voice of the unicorn.
Oh my God, I want to see that movie. Tiff, thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
You're the best.
And everyone watch Carmichael Show season 2.
Yeah, yes. Season 2. Come on.
Yes, coming back in February. Yeah.
Coming back in February. Black History Month.
I think one of the episodes, when Gerard was talking about, one of the episodes might be called Bill Cosby. I was like, that's hilarious.
Oh yeah. My God, I'm tuning
He's
in
all
already.
About that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they got to be diving deep into
Man,
that shit, right?
I don't know. I don't know if that's going to go, but I was telling him, I said, if that do go, just could you just make sure there's a part where Nakisha say, all them heifers took that money, they need to be put criminal charges on their ass too, because if it wasn't for them, if they would have told, or nobody else would have been getting raped out here. So them bitches is assistants rapists.
Nakisha,
like,
everybody.
You crazy.
Nakisha, right.
They are assistant rapists.
Tiffany, you're the absolute best. We love you.
You
are you are welcome on this podcast anytime.
Yeah, I gotta go, guys.
Okay, right. I love you. Bye,
love
Tiff.
You too. Mwah.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy.
This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.